Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in your Bible. This is a beginning study on the utterance gifts. There's three of them. Amen. They're called utterance gifts. Why? Because they say something. Amen. The power gifts do something. The revelation gifts reveal something. And the utterance gifts say something. Amen. And the first utterance gifts, that we're going to look at in this study is the gift of prophecy. Amen. Let's go over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you there? Amen. Say thank you, Holy Spirit, for bold, clear utterance. For Pastor John. I'm pulling on his spirit, Lord. Tell me what I need to know. Not what he thinks I need to know. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That means uninformed. Amen. You know that you were Gentiles at one time, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can reveal that to you. Amen? Now, there are diversities of gifts, many different gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, meaning there's different ways that the word of knowledge might work in you and the different way it might work in me, or the gift of faith in one person and work different in another person. Amen? But it's the same God which worketh all in all. Amen? Same gifts, they operate differently in different people, but they're the same gifts. It's the same Holy Spirit. Amen? Are you with me there? But the manifestation of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit. Not just the person operating in that particular gift at that moment, but to profit with all, or to edify the entire body. That's what the gifts are about, not to make you look good. He's actually kind of rebuking the Corinthians here, because they were using spiritual gifts to make themselves look good. They were operating in pride, not walking in love, and they were desirous of gifts of the Spirit for vainglory. Amen? And Paul's correcting them, telling them, the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal, not just to make us look good. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, we covered that. To another the word of knowledge, we covered that by the same Spirit. To another faith, or the gift of faith, by the same Holy Spirit. To another the gifts of healings, plural, by the same Spirit, we covered them. Amen? To another the working of miracles, we saw that. To another prophecy, we're going to see that tonight, the two different kinds of prophecy. To another discerning of spirits, been there, done that. To another divers kinds of tongues, that's coming next. And to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Somebody said, I'll take the gifts of healings, I like that. That's not how it works. Amen? The Holy Spirit determines who's going to operate in what gift. And you notice it says right here that he distributes severally to each individual according to his will. You can operate in one or more of any of these gifts as the Holy Spirit determines. Amen? Now, some of these gifts operate more consistently in the prophet and the apostle ministry more than they do in the life of the general believer, particularly the kind of prophecy that has prediction in it. That operates more consistently in a prophet's office and an apostle's office more than it does in the life of the general believer. But it can operate in your life as well. Amen. Just not as consistently as it does in the ministry of the prophet. And we're going to talk about that a little more. As we get into this lesson here tonight, it's not going to be a very long lesson. You just believe with me that God will impart to you what it is you need. Amen? We're going to be talking about the two kinds of prophecy that Paul taught about in the Bible. Both types are supernatural because both of them are manifestations of the divine agency speaking through the human agency. Both types of prophecy are supernatural because both are the divine speaking through the human. You understand that, don't you? Now, let's define for you the gift of prophecy. You write this in your notes, if you will. Amen? The gift of prophecy is speaking supernaturally on God's behalf in a known tongue or language. Speaking supernaturally on God's behalf in a known tongue or language. Speaking supernaturally on God's behalf in a known tongue or language. Amen? It's the word prophecy in the Bible actually means inspired speaker. If you look the word up, it says inspired speaker. But properly defined, it means to speak supernaturally on God's behalf in a known tongue or language. Amen? And it's just not possible to say all that could be said about this precious gift in this short lesson. But we're going to cover enough to get you going in the right direction. Amen? As I said, there's two types of prophecy that we're going to cover in this lesson. One type of prophecy contains no revelation or prediction. You're going to want to get that in your notes. One contains no revelation or prediction, no foretelling of future events. The other kind does contain revealing of future events or prediction. Amen? One will predict the future. One does not predict the future. Amen? And we're going to begin with what I'll call the non-revelation type, the one that does not reveal the future, which is most often called the simple gift of prophecy. Have you ever heard of the simple gift of prophecy? Have you ever heard of the kind of prophecy that doesn't contain prediction referred to as the simple gift of prophecy? Well, you're hearing about it now. Amen? The simple gift of, it's commonly called, it's not called that in the Bible, but we call it that. A lot of Bible teachers call it that to differentiate between the two different types. Simple prophecy has been called the poetry of the Spirit. There's no revelation in it. It doesn't predict the future, doesn't prophesy future events. It's used to lift God's people higher, to draw them closer to God, and to bring them to a place of what Paul said, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Look right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to talk briefly here about the kind of prophecy that has no prediction in it, no revealing of future events. It's been called the poetry of the Spirit. It's used very simply to lift God's people higher, to draw them closer to God, to bring comfort to them. And I want to look at something Paul said about the simple gift of prophecy that does not contain revelation. Amen? I'm being redundant on purpose. Amen? That's my job. The key to good teaching is what?
Repetition.
The key to good teaching is what? Repetition. Amen? Look what Paul said here about the simple gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, he said, "He that prophesieth," you know what I want to do here? Let's go back to verse 1, do it this way. "Follow after charity," that's love, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." God wants all the members of the body of Christ to prophesy through the simple gift of prophecy that we're talking about right now. That's you. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." When you're praying in tongues, you don't know what you're praying. Only the Holy Spirit does, unless he gives the interpretation. "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." Now there's the simple gift of prophecy. He did not use the word "speaketh unto men" to revelation, amen, to prediction of the future, did he? He said it's to edification, exhortation, and comfort. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church," or the entire church. That's why he said that we should all desire to be able to operate in the simple gift of prophecy. Because when we prophesy, the church is edified. When we give forth words of exhortation, edification, and comfort by the divine agency of the Holy Spirit, the whole body is edified. But when I speak in tongues and tongues alone, I'm the only one who gets edified through that. You're not edified when I speak through a tongue unless I interpret it. And by the way, if someone speaks in tongues and somebody else interprets it, that interpretation becomes prophecy. Even if there's no prediction in it, it's prophecy for exhortation, edification, and comfort because it's inspired utterance of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Prophecy is inspired utterance, whether it has prediction in it or not. If it came by the agency of the Holy Spirit, no prediction, simply for the purpose of edifying the body, it's inspired utterance. So the interpretation of a tongue equals prophecy. Do you see that? It's like two nickels equal one dime. It's the same thing. Amen? The simple gift of prophecy, go to Luke chapter 1, is simply speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. You hear me do that from time to time. Amen? I'll give a word sometimes when I stand up just before I preach, and I'll just give an encouraging word from the Lord to encourage the hearts of the people to stand in faith, step out in faith, believe God, trust God, know God loves you, know God wants to prosper you, know God wants to heal you. Amen? But I don't predict the future. Although there have been times that the Lord has used me to predict the future. And that's the higher form of prophecy. There's two kinds of prophecy. I'm going to say it again. There's one that's full that contains revelation, and there's one that doesn't contain revelation of the future. At the moment, we're talking about the one that doesn't contain revelation of the future. Now, John the Baptist's father, his name was Zechariah. Amen. Zacharias, I should say. Amen. Where did I ask you to go? Luke chapter 1. Let's do this together. If I ask you to go there, I should go there. Amen? Amen? Before John the Baptist was born, an angel announced to elderly Zacharias that his barren wife was going to have a child. And Zacharias' attitude towards the angelic announcement, as you know, was, sure, when pigs fly. Basically, that was his attitude. Amen? He didn't believe. He didn't believe. So he was struck dumb. The angel told him, because you don't believe in what I just told you by the Spirit of God, you'll be struck dumb. Why did he get struck dumb? Anybody have any idea? Because he didn't believe, apparently, and he'd go speaking against it, and it caused the thing to not come to pass. God didn't want him speaking against the will of God. Amen? He'd either hold it up, delay it, or deny it and stop it. So he struck him dumb. Amen? Well, after John was born, John's birth, once his birth was accomplished, Zechariah's tongue was loosed, and he began to prophesy through the simple gift of prophecy, praising God openly and lifting the spirits of all the people around him. He began to prophesy by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but there was no prediction in it. It was simply to edify, exhort, and comfort those within the sound of his voice. And let's look where he began to do that, right here in Luke chapter 1. In verse 67, once his tongue was loosed, John's father, Zacharias, in verse 67, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, say prophesied, he prophesied saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. No prediction here. Just edification. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. He's referring to prophets of old, but there's no prediction here coming from Zacharias, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath, which he, on and on and on he goes in this chapter, just speaking words of exhortation, edification, and comfort to the people around him, but not prophesying, at least not at this point yet, not predicting future events. Amen? The simple gift of prophecy has no prediction in it. Now, if you were to continue to read through this chapter, which you won't do right now because you don't want to miss what the Holy Spirit is going to continue to say here tonight, amen, you will find that he did ultimately step into the higher form of prophecy and he began to predict concerning his son. Amen? But up until that point, there was no prediction. So what we just read was just simply the simple gift of prophecy for exhortation, edification, and the comfort of the people all around him at the birth of his son John. Amen? He did ultimately, in this chapter, step up to the higher form of prophecy and predict the future. By the way, when we step into the higher form of prophecy that does predict the future, it's another gift of the Spirit in operation. Does anybody know what it is? It's the word of wisdom. It's the word of wisdom. When prophecy contains revelation of the future, it becomes a word of wisdom. It becomes a revelation gift And it's actually a revelation gift operating through the vehicle of an utterance gift. Amen? The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the future. Thank you, Helen. Amen? So, when prophecy contains prediction, it becomes the word of wisdom. Amen? So, we're looking at the two different kinds of prophecy. Amen? On and on and on, Zacharias went praising God, edifying and exhorting and comforting all those who heard him. He spoke according to the Holy Scriptures, supernaturally, lifting the spirits of all within earshot. Amen? We don't have time to go over there, but in Acts 21, put it in your Bibles. Philip the Evangelist, Acts 21, verse 8 and 9, put it in your notes, not in your Bibles. Amen? You can look it up in your Bible later. You don't want to look it up now because you'll miss what God's about to say. Amen? Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9. There's a man over there, Philip the Evangelist. He had four daughters, and they prophesied, the Bible says. They prophesied through the simple gift of prophecy, words of exhortation, edification, and comfort to individuals and to the church. Any of us in this room, any within the sound of my voice, anybody in the body of Christ can be used of God in the simple gift of prophecy. That's why Paul said, I desire that you all would earnestly seek the gift of prophecy. Paul said it was his will, because it was the Holy Spirit's will, that we all speak words of edification, comfort, and exhortation to one another individually and corporately by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit wills. We can all prophesy. We can all prophesy. We can all prophesy through the simple gift of prophecy. Some people make the mistake of believing, it's very common, and I've seen a lot of it on Cape Cod since we've been here. They think because they can speak prophetically words of exhortation, edification, and comfort, that they're automatically a prophet. And they begin to predict things into people's lives, and it's not the Spirit of God moving. They make the mistake of believing, because God uses them in the simple gift of prophecy, that they're also used in the higher form of prophecy, the word of wisdom, when they're not. And they step out and they get themselves, and anybody who listens to them, in trouble. Amen? But we can all operate through the simple gift of prophecy. It's just speaking words of encouragement based on Scripture. So step out in faith, says the Spirit of God, for I am a God of faith. And those who honor me and step out in faith and build faith in my word, I will honor faith in my word, says the Spirit of God. So be encouraged and do not be in fear. Don't yield yourself to the spirit of fear. Yield yourself to the spirit of faith. For faith is the only thing that pleases me, says the Spirit of God. For he who cometh unto me must not only believe that I exist, but that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, says the Spirit of God. There's no prediction in that. That's just edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm not giving direction into anybody's life. I mean, there's a certain amount of prediction in it, in that if you apply these laws to your life, they'll come to pass. But there's no specific revelation in there, prediction or guidance for somebody's life. Amen? As an individual, there's general guidance there, but there's not specific guidance. You see that? And we can all do that. We can all do that. And I encourage everyone, whenever you hear me give a tongue up here, if you think you might have the interpretation, you go ahead and you give that. Even if you just have the first word or two. Or maybe you're seeing a little picture in your mind. Just as long as it's biblical, scriptural, legal, and moral, describe what you're seeing in a way that will encourage people. And that's the Holy Spirit inspiring utterance in you. I'm moving quickly here, but you get this, don't you? We can all prophesy like that. And when it comes by the agency of the Holy Spirit, it's most edifying. Amen? You never know whose spirit you're speaking directly into. Who needed that specifically? Some people can receive it generally. Others receive it very specifically. It's just the thing that they needed to be set free. Amen? Hallelujah. Someone came in here just recently, just oppressed and confused and down and dogged. And I just began to pray for Israel prophetically. I didn't even plan it. It was two Sunday mornings ago. That person's in this room. Amen? And that was so edifying and so exhorting and so comforting to that person that that oppression lifted right off them. Because I was praying by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Prophecy doesn't always have to be, thus saith the Lord. I preach prophetically, frequently. I'll come in here with notes. And I'm not talking about predicting the future. I'm talking about divine inspiration. I'll come in here with notes.
And I'll start out with my notes. Next thing I know, I've stepped into an inspired realm where I'm not even using those notes. I'm ministering, preaching, and praying completely by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's a form of prophecy. Because prophecy is inspired utterance. It can come through a thus saith the Lord. It can come during a time of prayer. Preaching and teaching is a form of inspired utterance. Amen? But there's no prediction in it. And it doesn't make you a prophet if you do it. And a lot of people, particularly in New England, seem to believe the lie that just because they can give edification, exhortation, and comforting prophecy that has no prediction in it, that makes them a prophet, and they go around putting their cold, sweaty, clammy hands on people, telling them God's will for their life, and you're not supposed to do that. There's no scriptural precedent for that. Amen? You get yourself and people in trouble. How am I doing? Anybody mad at me tonight? Everybody still love me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's move real quickly from the simple gift of prophecy. You know, Paul, look at right here. 1 Corinthians 14, real quick. Get back over there. There's so many ways we could go, but we can't for time's sake. We'll just give you as the Holy Spirit impresses me. Amen? But you're getting something out of this, aren't you? There's two kinds of prophecy. One has prediction, one doesn't. One is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. The other one is for revelation. Brings revelation, amen? Two kinds of prophecy. Just because you operate in one doesn't mean you operate in two. Lots of foolish people. I'm not hammering away on people now. It's a problem. It's a problem in this area. It's a very, very big problem in this area. Amen? It's a big problem. People who God uses in the simple gift of prophecy seem to believe that that makes them a prophet, and they go around telling people God's will for their life, and that's wrong. Amen? We don't need people to prophesy God's will for us. Sometimes God will do that, but that's not the number one way guidance comes. Amen? And somebody, you encounter somebody who's willing to do that with other people, run the other way. And don't let them put their hands on you. Don't listen to them when they talk to you. People who have a history of giving people guidance through prophecy, you want to avoid them. Amen? They think because the Old Testament prophet did that, that's what they should do as a New Testament prophet. The Old Testament prophet gave guidance to people because he was only the prophet, priest, and king had the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. Amen? So when people needed guidance, they went to a prophet because he had the Holy Ghost. But in the New Testament, we all have the Holy Ghost. He lives inside all of us. We don't have to find the prophet's ministry to get guidance. Amen? We go to the Word of God and we go within ourselves. We pray in tongues and the Holy Ghost talks to us. Amen? People make the mistake of believing because the Old Testament prophet gave guidance that the New Testament prophet gives guidance, and the New Testament prophet is not supposed to go around guiding people. Amen? Even the New Testament prophet himself is supposed to get guidance from the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and fellowshipping with God. Everybody is to go to God for themselves in this dispensation in which we live for guidance, not to the prophet's ministry. Amen? But sometimes the prophet's ministry can give you guidance. But it's not the number one way God does it. But sometimes he can do it. And usually it just confirms what you already know. And if it doesn't, you should put it on the back burner until it bears witness with your spirit, till you get peace or unrest, red light, green light about it. If you don't, can it? Because you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. 1 John 2, 20 and 27 says, you have an anointing that abides within, and you know all things, meaning about your own life and your own ministry, and you need no one to teach you. Not you don't need anyone to teach you the Bible. You don't need anybody to teach you the specific will of God for your life. He lives in you. He will tell you directly. When people come to me and they do it frequently and try to tell me God's will for my life, I tell them, you go back to God and you give them Post Office Box 782, Hyannis Port, Massachusetts, 24-02-647. Apparently, he forgot where I am. Amen? I just say it in jest, but that's ridiculous. Amen? You get guidance for yourself. Amen? But there is a form of prophecy that does have guidance in it. We're going to look at it here. It does contain revelation. It does contain prediction. We'll look at an example of one in Acts chapter 11 real quick. Amen? This form of prophecy does speak concerning future events to help people prepare for the future, but it's not the primary way that God guides the New Testament believer. And just because you operate in the simple gift of prophecy doesn't mean that you operate in the revelatory type of prophecy as well. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? I'm just keeping it kind of simple tonight. Amen. In Acts chapter 11, look right here in verse 27. And in these days came prophets. See, these are prophets. Amen. These aren't lay believers. This is not the general believer. These are prophets. Amen. These are men who stand in a prophetic office. Amen. And let me just say a word, if I may, about prophets, because the Lord said to us recently, the false prophets are coming back to Cape Cod. And then someone told me right after a service, there's some brother named Denny somebody who comes around laying hands and giving guidance and direction to people, calls himself a prophet. Listen, a prophet is first and foremost. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 1, a prophet is first and foremost a teacher and a preacher of God's Word. Anybody who cannot teach foundational doctrines of Christ and major Bible doctrines, but to go around prophesying the will of God to everybody, watch out for them. If they're not first and foremost a teacher and preacher of God's Word, if they're not able to teach and preach the Word of God with excellence, don't listen to them. Prophets are first and foremost teachers and preachers of God's Word, not predictors. Not guidance givers, amen? If somebody is not building on the Word of God, if somebody's not building on a preaching and a teaching ministry and they're out prophesying to people, watch out, stay away from them. Do you hear what I'm saying? If they're not first and foremost a preacher and teacher of God's Word, they're not a prophet. And you can't develop a prophet's ministry. Prophets develop teaching and preaching ministries, and the Holy Ghost develops the prophetic ministry in them. There's nothing you can do, well, except for fasting and praying, to develop a prophetic office. You develop your preaching and your teaching gifts if you're a prophet, and you let the Holy Spirit develop your prophetic office. That's a supernatural office that only God can develop in you. I'm saying this on purpose. People come around wanting to give guidance, line everybody in the church up, and give everybody in the church a word, and take a nice big juicy offering after. Watch out. That's not the Spirit of God. Amen? People who advertise themselves as prophets, you have to watch out. Didn't we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the gifts of the Spirit operate according to His will? Well, how can you advertise that you're going to come to town as a prophet on the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th? What if it's not the will of God for that prophetic office to go into manifestation on the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th? What are you going to do? We're not supposed to advertise the prophet's office. Amen? You let that office advertise and speak for itself. Amen? We develop and we advertise the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Are you getting anything out of this? This will keep you from being deceived by false prophets. They're coming back to Cape Cod. The Holy Spirit said, by divine inspiration, through me, just recently, He said, they're coming back. The false prophets, they're coming back around. If they're not building them, the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and they're offering people guidance, run like hell. Amen? Like you're running from hell itself. Amen? And don't listen to them. Amen? Here's an example of prophecy with prediction in it. In verse 27, and in those days prophets came from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. He's a real prophet, recognized by the Apostle Paul, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, a drought coming, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief into the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Amen? See, this word was given. Did you? Some people are looking like you're confused. Did you see it okay in Acts chapter 11, 27? Anybody lost? Acts chapter 11, 27. Everybody there? Some's looking confused. Amen? Everybody there? Look at it again. He stood up, one of them named Agabus, signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth or drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Amen? Now look, this was given not to scare people, but to prepare people. Not to scare people, but to prepare people. Amen? I don't know why it is, Barbara and I were talking about it today, but frequently, if I sleep in your house, this has happened to me frequently in the past, if I sleep in your house or in accommodations that you prepare for me, God will give me a word for individuals whose home I'm staying in concerning coming death or tragedy, either to prepare them for it or to avert it. I don't know why that is. But if I sleep in your house, everybody's thinking, I want them in my house now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's happened in the past, and I don't know why things like that happen. I just know that they do happen. I know that they do happen because it's happened with me. God will give me a word concerning a death coming to the family so you can prepare for it, or a tragedy coming to the family so you can prepare for it or avoid it. Not all the time. Not every time. Not every time, but it's not uncommon. Amen? My point is, when a prophetic word like that comes, it's not to scare you. It's to prepare you. Amen? Just like this word that came. Maurice, not all the time, huh? Because he's thinking he invited me to sleep at his house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. This came to prepare them for a drought that was coming. Amen. Let's look at another manifestation right here. This just to prepare you. God will do Acts 21. God will do things like this just to prepare you. Amen. So you can be ready for it. Also, you can avoid it. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 21. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Here's another one. This is Agabus again over here. Oh, I wish we had more time tonight. We don't, unfortunately, but we'll do what we can do with what time we have left. We're not doing too bad. Amen. We've seen there's two kinds of prophecy. There's a simple kind of prophecy for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Has no prediction. And then there's the higher form of prophecy. Has prediction in it. And when it has prediction in it, it becomes the word of wisdom. Amen. There's two kinds. And just because you operate in the simple gift of prophecy doesn't mean you operate in the word of wisdom. Amen. And we have to watch out for false prophets in the land. Now, you know, the fact that this counterfeits just reveals the fact that there's real. There's counterfeit $20 bills out there because there's real 20s floating too. There's counterfeit prophets out there because the devil's trying to confuse people about the real prophetic office. There's a real office of the prophet. It's real. Amen? And I'm not trying to scare people, and I'm not trying to turn you away from all prophets. Amen? I'm not. I'm just trying to help you to be able to recognize true prophets over false prophets in the number one way. And a prophet today is still a seer. He sees into the spirit realm. He speaks into the future supernaturally. But he's first and foremost a preacher and teacher of God's word. And he can lay out foundational doctrines of Christ. And he can lay out major Bible doctrines. And anybody who can't ain't a prophet. Amen? Or if he is, he's neglecting his office. Some folks are called to a prophetic office, but they neglect the preaching and teaching aspect of their ministry. Amen. And they're cutting their lives short by doing so, by the way. Amen. They're running the risk of dying prematurely by focusing too much on the prophetic office and not focusing on the teaching and preaching of the gospel. Amen. They get out of the will of God doing that, and God can't protect them, and many of them die prematurely. But what I'm trying to say to you here tonight by the Spirit of God is a prophet is first and foremost a preacher and a teacher of God's word. Amen? Second, he's a seer and a man who, or a woman, it can be women prophets, who speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If somebody's coming and they're not building on the word, they're building on manifestations of the prophet's office, watch out. Amen? You open yourself up. People like that get demon spirits in them. You open yourself up to them. You let them lay hands on you, touch you, and speak things into your life. And you open up your spirit to them. It's called transference of spirits in the Bible. You can get the same evil spirits in you that they've got in and on them. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I know, Pastor? Red light, green light. If you got any question about someone who's proclaiming themselves to be a prophet at all, any question down in your spirit, you know red light, green light by now. It's the number one way God guides. You get a red light about somebody, just back away. Just don't go. No matter who puts pressure on you, come on, come on, come on, it's going to be fun. And this ain't about fun. Amen? This is about Scripture. This is about the perfect will of God for your life. Amen? This is about life or death. Amen? Amen? I said it's about life or death. Amen. You can't let anybody put hands on you and speak into your life. Amen. If you have a red light, the Lord's saying again, the false prophets are coming back to Cape Cod. You got a red light at all about anybody that's coming. Don't go. Just don't go. Amen? He's not probably not going to wake you up in the middle of the night and shake you and say, Helen, don't go! He's going to give you the red light. If you violate it, as a conscious act of your own free will, he's going to allow you to do that. He's not going to force you to stay away. But he's going to give you the red light. Amen? You got the green light? Go for it. But be cautious. Amen? Anybody comes to town, well, we're holding services, by the way. If you belong here, you need to be here on those nights that we're here and go the other nights that we're not holding services. I say that by the Spirit of God. Amen? I asked you to go where? Acts chapter 21? Yes. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. Acts 21, verse 10. 21:10. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. As Agabus again. He's got a pretty good track record, too. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Prediction, word of wisdom, revealing to Paul what's going to happen to him when he goes to Jerusalem. Some people say, well, Paul went to Jerusalem. Why did he go? God told him not to. What does it say God told him not to? God told him what's going to happen to him when he does go. Amen? Nowhere did he say, don't go. He said, this is what's going to happen to you when you go, so that when it does happen to you, you'll know you're not out of the will of God. God's taken Paul now through a process here, getting him to Rome to preach to Caesar. This is the beginning of that. Amen? When they heard these things, both we and they of that place, we besought Paul, don't go, Paul. Paul said, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Paul knew God's will for his life. He didn't need the prophet to tell him. He knew the prophet wasn't telling him God's will. The prophet was telling him what was going to happen when he did go, so when it happened, he wouldn't be discouraged and think, I must be out of God's will, because if I was in God's will, they wouldn't be binding me. God would have warned me not to go. No, God was telling him, that's what's going to happen. When you go, you be encouraged, you be comforted, it's going to happen to you. I'm going to get you up there to Caesar, up to Rome, you're going to preach the gospel to him. But nowhere did Agabus tell him not to go. He just said, this is going to happen to you. And they tried to tell him not to go, and Paul said, whoa, I know God's will for my life. I'm not only ready to be bound, I'm ready to die for Christ. Amen? I know what I'm doing. Agabus was talking to me, not to you. Butt out, Budinsky. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you see that there? You see, there's two kinds of prophecy. Amen? When prophecy contains revelation of future events, it's conditional. Amen? Go to Isaiah chapter 38. This is going to be the last one I'm going to be able to share with you because it's late, but you're going to want to see this. Amen? If you do get a prophecy of thus saith the Lord, just because the Lord prophesied His will into your life through somebody doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. You'll see what I'm saying when we get there, amen? Isaiah chapter 38, real quick, this will be the last example. Isaiah chapter 38. It's possible God could have somebody come and prophesy to you or confirm to you that you are called to the nation of Israel and that you're going to have a ministry in a bookstore in Israel, just say. And it's something that you knew, and the prophet comes along, confirms to you exactly what you already knew, but just because you knew it and the prophet confirmed it doesn't mean it's going to come to pass in your life. It's up to you. You have to live a holy lifestyle. Amen? You have to live a holy lifestyle. The angel came to me in the dream and said to me, prophesied to me, word of wisdom. He said he was sent to me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he was told to tell me that I would place my feet on the soil of no less than 35 nations of the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen. It doesn't mean I can go take up with another woman and go start drinking and carousing and just say, okay, God, you said it, you do it. No, I got to live my life in line with His Word, because all prophecy is conditional. It's based upon whether we're going to live right or not. Amen? Now, if I don't live right, I don't get to go to those nations, and I'm going to have rewards taken away from me at the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ because I didn't pull my life in line with that prophecy. Do everything I knew to do to make it come to pass. When prophecy does come to your life, it doesn't mean you can live any old stinking way you want, and it's going to come to pass. Now, here, Ezekiel. I'm sorry, Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to go through this quickly. Verse 1. In those days, you put this in your notes, you go back and look at it later. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He had gotten into sin. Are you there? And Isaiah the prophet, say prophet. He was a prophet. He stood in the prophet's office. He didn't just operate in the simple gift of prophecy. He's a real, live prophet, this boy. The son of Amos came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord to Hezekiah, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He repented, cried, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and done that which is good in thy sight. And he wept sore. He began to remind God when God told him, You're going to die for your sin. He wept sore and repented and began to remind God, Look at all the good things I did. I'm so sorry. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah again, saying, Go back and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I heard your prayer, the prayer of repentance. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city. God just told him he was going to die. And then he turned around and he said, You're not going to die. Why? Is God a hypocrite? No. Prophecy, personal prophecy, however it comes to you, is always conditional. He was told he was going to die based upon the way he was living. He repented and God said, okay, you can live. Amen? The same is true for any prophetic utterance that comes into your life. It's conditional. You have to pull yourself in line with it. All personal prophecy is conditional, conditional, conditional. God's assuming you have enough sense to pull your life in line with the written word of God so it can come to pass. There's only one kind of prophecy that predicts the future that isn't conditional. And those are prophecies concerning Christ and His second coming. There's nothing we can do to change that. It is gonna happen. Amen? But personal prophecy is always conditional. We get people who have been believing God for 20, 30, 40 years for prophecies to come to pass in their life. When it came, it was the Spirit of God, but they never pulled their lives in line with the written Word of God. The prophecy never came to pass, and they're blaming God. It's not God's fault. We have to live a pure, moral, upright existence before Him. Amen? Prophecy, when it has prediction in it concerning your personal life, is always conditional. Amen? So, hallelujah, glory be to God. We've briefly seen the two types of inspired utterance in a known language. One is the simple gift of prophecy that inspires, lifts, and encourages. It has no revelation or prediction contained therein, but it is still supernatural because it's the divine agency speaking through the human agency. And the other type of prophecy does foretell future events, which causes it to become a word of wisdom as well. Amen. And I want to say it again, prophets speak forth the revelatory kind of prophecy far more than the general believer. It could happen to you. God could use you to predict something that's going to happen in the future. But just because He uses you a time or two to do that doesn't make you a prophet. You have to have all the other signs that accompany the office of the prophet. And we get many people today, God's used them a time or two to tell somebody something that's going to come to pass in their lives. And then they set themselves up in a prophet's ministry. People start coming to them for words and they're not called to God to do that. It was just something that happened occasionally. Amen. They feel pressure to perform. They open themselves up to the devil, and then they're goofing everybody and themselves all up. Amen. You get anything out of here tonight? We went pretty quickly here. Let's stand up. Amen. And praise the Lord. How many kinds of prophecy are there? There are two kinds of prophecy. One predicts the future. One doesn't. One is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. And the other does predict the future. Amen. When we come back, we're going to be talking about tongues and interpretation. Amen.